Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
That's right. The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Happy Party Friday, everybody. Let's get right to it. We've got a great guest to start off the show, Dick Morris. Everybody knows who Dick Morris is. Author of 10 New York Times bestsellers, commentator, political analyst, advisor to former President Donald Trump. And he has a new book out called Corrupt, The Inside Story of the Biden's Dark Money. Hey, Dick, thank you once
Thanks,
again.
Dick.
Yeah, thank you for your time.
Glad to have you back.
Thank you. I'm glad you didn't go back in my resume and tell people I worked for Clinton.
That's right.
Well, the statute of limitations has to be all over.
Somebody that time feels like my first marriage.
Let me ask you this. So Comer today is apparently telling at least Lou Dobbs that they're going to start subpoenaing the Bidens. They've been saying that for a long time. But it sounds like from your book, they sure would have a lot of things to talk about if they did subpoena them.
Yeah they would. I think they're going to finish with Hunter and then go on to Joe. But what I say in my book is basically that the Biden family spread throughout the world to set up business deals, corrupt deals, where they could make money and they could channel a large piece of it to Joe. And they went to Ukraine, China, Moscow, Romania, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Costa Rica, and Ukraine, of course. And the deals were very complicated, but they all had one thing in common. The only thing of merit that the Bidens brought to the process was access to the vice president and then to the president. And they sold it very blatantly and very openly.
Well, it must have been a tough time for these countries with your former client Hillary Clinton and her husband going around grafting everything, and Joe Biden coming down either before or afterwards. Yeah. He must have said, how many are there of you?
Right. Well, I think that's true. The difference, of course, is that the Clintons' transactions were fairly simple. It was, we need a ruling from the State Department. We'll invite your husband, Bill, to give a speech. We'll pay him $1 million, and then you give us the favorable decision. And they would say, oh, this isn't a bribe. They really wanted to hear Bill speak, and they gave us $1 million for it. But what Biden's done is far more complicated and more devious. He said, I want to invest in energy in China. So the energy company in China, GEFC, I think it's called, invites Hunter in, puts him on the board, declares him their broker for any business that they do. They're a government-controlled enterprise. And then they do deals and pay commissions to Hunter Biden, totaling multiple millions of dollars. It looks like north of $30 million.
Wow.
And then he splits that and shares that with his father. And they go to Ukraine, and they want to set up a deal with the leading energy company in Ukraine, Burisma, and they put Hunter on the board and pay him $1 million a year. They're a corrupt company, and when they start to be investigated by a prosecutor in Ukraine, Joe Biden goes to Ukraine and says, unless you stop this investigation and fire this prosecutor, you're not getting $1 billion of aid from the United States. So, and they fired him. They did that on television. So it was a very complicated series of moves designed to use business deals in those countries to profit the Bidens. And they set up over 20 shell corporations to take the money and launder it so that they could get away with it. It's incredible operation.
Well,
it seems the Clintons at least seem to have
they got something for their money.
Well, they reported their income. Yeah. I mean, the $1 million speech in Moscow, they reported everything else. Joe and all those people didn't.
Well, we don't know that yet. We know that Biden reported $15 million more of income in 2018 and 2017, right after he left as vice president. And we know where about 5 million of that came from, but there's still about 10 million that he declared, and we don't know where it came from. Now, in addition, he may have had income that he didn't declare, and we don't know about it yet. We're learning about all of this stuff. But at the very least, there's 10 million missing money, which he declared in his tax return, paid taxes on. We have no idea what the source was. And I'm sure that that was cash, paid as bribes. And and if they declared that, they probably left undeclared a huge portion of it. But
did, wasn't
that
there...
my book focuses on something related, which is not so much what Biden got from China, but what China got from Biden. Yeah.
Right, that's key. Okay, that's great.
Yeah, because, when you take a bribe from a highway contractor, so he gets rich and they build a highway. But when you take a bribe from our leading international adversary, that's called treason. And what you do for that is treasonous. And I went through the Biden record for this term as president. It found so many examples where the U.S. national interests were A, and Biden decided B, which was in the interests of China. The biggest example is COVID. As it became evident that COVID originated in Wuhan, China, and it became evident that the theory that there were, a guy was bitten by a bat was ridiculous.
Right.
And then the question became, was this a lab leak, which was a mistake, or a biological attack on the United States, which would have been deliberate in an effort to stop Trump from being reelected, which he did. And there has never been an investigation. China bars access to the Wuhan lab. They won't make any of the technicians available. And there has been no determination as to how this plague got visited on humanity. And Biden has not insisted that China open its doors and permit an investigation. He easily could. He easily could say, we're going to impose a trade embargo, we're going to stop paying you interest on our debt, and we're going to throw you out of the World Trade Organization until you do, but he's never done that. And I think silence and complicity was the first thing he did in return for the bribe. But there are so many others. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, let me ask you about China and Iran, right? Doesn't China and Iran have a bazillion-dollar oil deal? And is that do you think that plays into why, Biden is like, oh, those nice Iranians, they would never fund terrorism. Yeah. I mean, does that play into that policy do you think?
I think that's a very good point. Iran is vital to China because among China's wealth, it does not produce a lot of oil. It uses about 6 million barrels a day, and it uses about 12 million barrels a day. And it produces only about 3. So Iran, which is its major supplier of oil, is vital to that equation. And clearly Biden's quick lifting of sanctions on Iran and refusing to reimpose them despite their obvious uses of terror is, I think, an exact part of this. Let me go on to some other stuff. The key in American finance is that we're the world's reserve currency. And if you need to borrow money on the world markets, you can do it in dollars easily. But if you're with another currency and you want to borrow, you've got to change your money into dollars first, and then you can borrow, because the yuan or the pound or the euro or the yen are not international currencies. Okay. And China is threatening to China's assembled a group of 12 nations that have agreed not to accept the dollar in return for their exports, particularly of oil. And that includes Iran and China, Russia, India, Brazil, and a whole bunch of other countries.
Yeah, the BRICS countries.
BRICS, yeah, B-R-I-C-S. Yes. And this is aimed directly at the heart of America's economic viability. And Biden does nothing about that. you could easily insist that the dollar be used, and he could easily force that, but he doesn't. In so many areas, Kennedy almost brought us to a nuclear war because Russia wanted bases in Cuba. China is establishing bases in Cuba, and you don't hear a peep out of Biden. China's acquired a monopoly of rare earth minerals, which are essential to cell phones, to radar, to everything, and specifically to solar and wind batteries. And Biden has let China acquire that monopoly. And when a firm came along in the United States to build a mine that could preempt a lot of the Chinese power, he vetoed it on the grounds that it was endangering the lake.
Right.
Just so many examples. We have 300,000 Chinese students studying in the United States. And the FBI set up a unit to investigate them for suspicions of espionage. And Biden closed the office in his first month in office, claiming it was racial profiling.
Oh, God.
This guy's done everything he can to be the president of China, not the president of the United States.
Who is the mastermind, do you think? Because I don't get the impression that Joe Biden is all that with it these days. And I don't see Hunter being at the mastermind. I mean, who do you think, is kind of telling Joe what to do these days, at least on this area?
On policy and politics, I think it's always been Barack Obama.
Yeah.
He stayed in Washington, unlike other ex-presidents. Right. He has an office a few blocks from the White House. And he has Valerie Jarrett, who is his chief operative, in the Biden White House, basically running things. He's the halfback that runs back and forth to the coach to get the plays and take them into the huddle. But on corruption, I think that Joe Biden is quite with it. I think that he's one of those people who, when you're in his alleyway, is totally involved. When you're outside, he pretends to be sort of scatterbrained. You ever heard of, remember the, I think it's the first name, Giganti, Tony the Chin Giganti? He was an organized crime figure who was being indicted and convicted and ultimately sentenced in New York City. And he'd wander around Greenwich Village in a bathrobe and slippers. and he claimed that he was insane. And so they never tried him and they couldn't put him in prison. And I think that's part of Joe Biden's act.
Let me kind of turn it to the current events too.
One of your prior book to this, or one of your prior books was the saying the great Trump comeback in 2024. And that certainly looks like it's happening.
Yep. It's called The Return, and it's Trump's incredible 24 comeback. And so far I've been right on the money. I predicted that Trump would run, that he would win the Republican nomination almost by acclamation, almost unanimously, and that he would be ahead of Biden and he would ultimately defeat Biden. And right now Trump is way ahead among Republicans and 5 points ahead of Biden in the general poll.
Right.
And with Trump got 12% of the black vote last time, he's getting 27% now.
Yeah.
And with Trump last time got 26% of Latinos, he's now getting 39%. And among Gen Z voters under 25, he's gone from 10 points behind to 10 points ahead.
Wow.
So I think that he is clearly on a track to win.
What about, let me ask you about the current events going on in Israel and how the Biden administration is kind of handling that. I guess I kind of have two questions. One is, how does this whole corruption scheme tie into all of that? And then sort of a second part, just from your experience in dealing with presidents and in Washington, how does they seem to be, they're kind of darned if they do and darned if they don't, right? On the one hand, everybody's mad, all the Palestinians are, and Muslims are mad at them. And yet on the other hand, you can't have show pictures of people, beheading babies. That's a problem too. But for the first part, how does the corruption, do you see it tying into the way they're handling all of that situation?
Well, I think Biden is pretending to be a friend of Israel. And it's a great thing with friends like that who needs enemies. Because at every juncture, he's been slowing Israel down.
Right.
And the current one is he's saying, you have the great momentum now. They're winning. They're really handling Hamas. I think Hezbollah is afraid to attack. And Biden is saying, oh, let's have a ceasefire. Let's pause so that you can collect the hostages. And if that stands in hell, they'll ever be released by without coercion. And I think Biden is tapping into the anti-Semitism that's so obvious among Democratic base that he's now really attempting to stop the Israeli retaliation. And I think that's going on now. But let's put that into perspective. There would be no war if Trump was still president, because Trump cut off Iranian oil sales, embargoed them. They didn't sell oil. They were selling, the revenue from oil sales was like $6 billion a year, $6 million a year. Their foreign currency reserves were smaller than Haiti's. They were down to their last dollar. And when Biden came in, he lifted the sanctions.
Yeah.
Now they have $80 billion of foreign currency reserves and are selling 3.1 million barrels a day.
Yeah.
So this is what's funding Hamas.
Yeah.
And it's all Biden's doing. I mean, it's all of a piece. You asked about the interweaving of it. You have Iran selling oil, financing Hamas, financing Hezbollah, using it to do terror against Israel. And you have Biden letting Iran sell all the oil it wants, and also, by the way, shipping them $1 billion in aid, allegedly for humanitarian purposes, humanitarian rockets.
Yeah. Oh, the whole thing is corrupt. Well, why don't you see back to Donald Trump? I was reading a thing today where it talked about the Club for Growth. They'd run all these, they were planning them to be attack ads talking about all the legal troubles that Trump has. And instead, all the ads backfired, right? Everybody's like, oh, they're mad about it. Here in
all the people watching the ads, I like Trump better.
Right. Yeah, he came out better. And here in Colorado is where we have the trial going on where the corrupt Democrat judge is doing that. How do you see, I mean, it doesn't seem to be hurting Trump. Do you see it as actually even helping him?
Yeah, it is. When Trump was on his way in the car to go to Miami to get booked, he called me and said, how am I doing? Meaning in the polls. And I said, you're doing great. You gained 10 points. You should be indicted more often.
And he was.
And he was.
Yeah, he was. It got a chuckle out of him. But I think that Trump is going to lose in the courts, but win in the election.
Yes. Yeah.
And ultimately, the election is the place where the power is distributed. I think it's entirely likely that Trump gets convicted on some of these phony charges.
Yeah.
It's even possible he gets imprisoned. I hope not, but it's possible. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's going to make a damn bit of difference. I think the American people get it, that this is all a judicial attack to try to stop Trump from being president.
Yes.
And it has nothing to do with the facts of any case.
Right, right.
What's your opinion on the new Speaker of the House?
I think he's pretty good. What I mainly love is the fact that he's elected and in power because the House can function now.
Right.
And they're doing a very good job in their opening days. For example, they cut the appropriation for the EPA, Environmental Protection, by 40%. That won't stick. The Senate will have put much of it back. But it really reins in this agency that is promoting the climate change agenda.
Right.
To hit the tail, trying to wag the dog. There's a law that they passed, the regulation, the Defense of Waters Act. Sounds like they're protecting rivers and lakes, but they're not. They've declared that any flow of water that ultimately could end up in the water stream has to be policed. That means streams and creeks and leakage even from, you know, agriculture. And it's a power grab of enormous proportions.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that they're doing that.
Final question for you, Dick, because people always want to know, where can people get all of your books? I know you've got dickmorris.com, but where's the best place to go? And you're all over the place on Newsmax, everywhere, too, to kind of keep track and keep up with you.
Well, if you go to Amazon and enter my name, they actually have a section on my books.
Oh, that
has all 21 of them. And you can get them all there. There are 21 that I've written. By the way, 13, not 10, on New York Times bestseller.
Oh, okay.
Well, one person wanted one last question. Peg wanted to know what's happening to election integrity. Do you think we'll have an honest election in 2024?
I'll tell you the truth, that I'm coming to the conclusion that it won't matter. That, you know, in polling, we have something called the statistical margin of error. Well, now we have sort of the statistical margin of healing. And we are at the moment so far ahead that they can't steal it. I mean, you can't steal it. To give you a feel for it, Trump lost the popular vote, allegedly, by 3%. He's now winning it by 8%. That's an 8-point shift. He can't steal 8 points.
Okay. Hopefully not.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time on this Friday afternoon. Have
Best of luck. Yeah.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you. And by the way, in Colorado, don't worry about being knocked off the ballot. That's never going to stand. There was a case of a Republican congressman who participated in North Carolina or Virginia, I think, North Carolina, who participated in the January 6th riot. And the North Carolina election officials, Democrats, tried to keep him off the ballot running for Congress. And the Supreme Court wouldn't let them do it. So they can fulminate at the local level all they want and try to generate publicity and support for it. But no, Trump's definitely not going to be removed from any ballot.
That's what we think, too. That's what we hope. Okay, so thank you for your time and your analysis.
Take
Appreciate
care.
It.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. Dick Morris there. Oh, and Jacob, I just now saw your question. I'm sorry. I should have had my glasses on. We'll ask it next time. We'll have him on again. Jacob wanted to ask about the whole Eric Adams kind of thing with the FBI. We're going to have at 3:30, we're going to have Ash Epp come on. Number one, she's been following pretty close.
She made the trial.
Yeah, the trial going on in Denver. I think it is. But also on the other hand, she had, and I have some experience with this that I can throw out there too. She had the prosecutors like ask the judge to admonish her for live streaming the court feed, which was completely uncalled for because the judge was completely wrong on this. And it was just a total attempt to dox Ash and have people threaten Ash. And so she'll talk to it. Yeah. And knowing Ash, she didn't step, you know, she didn't get down. She's like, okay, bring it. Right. But until we get her on, wanted to briefly talk about the CD4 race. So we had the
Wild and Woolly CD4 race.
Yeah, it was great. We had got Trent Lisey from Mar-a-Lago the day that Ken Buck stepped down or said he wasn't going to announce. Apparently, Deborah Flora, who
just up and quit.
Just up and quit at KNUS.
That wanted to ship by. and then it was on all the other programs. Announcing her
candidacy. Well, I think that's okay. I don't fault her for that, right? If she's going to, and I'm sure KNUS was aware that this is a possibility.
No, they weren't.
Well, somebody was. Probably the people who needed to
be aware.
There
are no adults left at 710 KNUS. So.
Somebody somewhere, the money people knew.
They're gone. They're back in New York.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, she can't really be a radio host if she's going to run for Congress. But Deborah Flora announced, she's from Douglas County. She ran for Senate, right? And I just have to say this. I like Deborah Flora. I think I like Trent Lisey better, but I like Deborah Flora. She has for a while now, and I don't know who, but she's got some people with money backing her. Mm-hmm. Deborah Flora has been at all the right events, saying all the right things, which I think she believes. I don't mean that badly, but somebody she's got a very professional handler in a good way, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of putting her out there. Everybody and their mother, we were joking yesterday, Chuck, you're going to run for CD4. Right? No, not
tonight.
Really.
I'm resigning today from our podcast.
Well, a podcast, I think you could probably do. A lot of people have been throwing out George Brockler's name. I'm going to say right now, I think George Brockler wants to run for district attorney. They created a new judicial district that actually encompasses part of his old judicial district, right?
Right.
And my guess would be he runs for
That's what my guess too, but I have more people saying he's really considering hard running for CD4, so we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. From Jim Jackson. The Dems have no reason to try to not steal the election. You know, but going back to Dick Morris's last point, I've read that too, that there comes a certain point where in order to steal it, it would take like truckload. You know what I mean? It would be.
Well, Biden last time got 81 million votes, which was some, you know, huge number, you know, 12 million, 13 million or something beyond his prior one. So,
you know, I don't think I don't think the Democrats would not try. If we're aware of the growing gap, right? I mean, then they're aware of it too. And they've got over a year to start dealing with it.
Start
right?
counting the ballots.
Just start, yeah, to figuring out how to deal with it.
So, early voting opened yesterday.
You know, I mean, yeah, I can see how all of a sudden Joe Biden gets more votes than there are people in the United States. But here's the thing, they don't care.
No.
They'll be like, so, denier.
What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, what are you going to do about it? Exactly, denier. Let's see. So one does not need to live in a district to run in that district. That's it's true. In CD4 and Weld County. Sorry, I didn't check. Well, Weld County does kind of, or CD4 does kind of curve around.
Goes to Parker.
Right. It goes down through Castle Parker. Park. But I think Trent mentioned, and we didn't ask him who, there are some people whose names are being tossed out who don't live in the district. Under the law, you don't have to live in the district. I don't even know. Do you have to live in Colorado? I don't even know.
I think so. Yeah.
You don't have to.
Pretty sure you have to live in Colorado.
Yeah, Hunter Biden's going to run. You don't have to live in the district. But I think it would be hard to run if you didn't run in the district. I think that would be a pretty big sticking point. And my prediction is we'll have Trent Lisey, and then the Rhinos will come up with their candidate.
Well, yeah, but they'll also throw in some phony.
Right.
MAGA candidate. I mean, Jerry Sonnenberg's reportedly going to run.
Mike Lynch. These are former state lawmakers.
Then Jerry.
Maybe Heidi Ginnall.
Heidi Ginnall, definitely.
Heidi Ginnall.
Buckwheat Halthoff is saying he's going to run.
And Heidi Ginnall, I will say this, seems to have really stepped up her social media presence. So I would think you have to announce sooner rather than later, don't you think? Or maybe not. I don't know how they do it.
I think if you can announce after the November election, which is only, 6 days away, right. 5 days away. Well,
this is good from Jacob. Jacob is like on it news-wise. Sam Bankman fraud was convicted of fraud. Anyway, there's a theory that he will be Epstein'd as he's young and will spill the beans on everybody. Yeah, I don't. Well, here's the thing. I think the beans are already known, right? There isn't anything.
Oh, no, I only know. Little the beans.
I mean, I think, you'd think that all of the people who gave, what did he give, $15 million to Biden's campaign, something like that?
But how Biden, the interlockings of how, what he got for that and stuff.
Right. And he gave Republicans, too. You'd think that they should argue.
He gave a few to Rhino Republicans. It was incredibly small.
Right.
And it was only Rhinos.
And some of it was laundered through Ukraine.
Yeah,
to a certain extent, it wasn't really his money. Which would have been hard to say in the trial. It's like, a lot of these guys was not my money.
It was your money.
It was your money that they gave to Ukraine. Ukraine gave it to me, and then I gave it back to the politicians.
To Biden.
I don't know if he'll be Epstein or not, because I don't know who would he spill the beans on. He was the main.
Biden.
Oh, in the Biden administration? Yeah. But he looks like he's spending the rest of his life, or could spend the rest of his life, in prison.
Yeah,
so you never know. But you never know. Let's see. Oh, Jim says there is a huge pile of beans out there.
Yeah.
And then from Leo, low energy bush beans. Mm-hmm. While we're waiting for Peg, what else did I want to talk about? Oh, this is not good news. The judge, John Eastman, one of Trump's lawyers, who was from Colorado, got fired from CU for being Trump's lawyer. In California, they're going after his bar license, right? And the judge has been
moral turpitude.
Yeah, the judge has preliminarily found that he is culpable of ethics violations. The reason that's significant is because that means basically what she's saying is, I found him guilty, so now the prosecution can present essentially aggravating factors, so how bad can I make the punishment? So, and I guess that decision may come down, or that may wrap up as early as tomorrow when the decision
comes.
Well, remember, all of this is funded by a liberal, I think David Brock, the Media Matters guy, Project 65. It was a project that was created a couple years ago to specifically, and they spent millions of dollars targeting any and all lawyers who in any way, shape, or form help out Trump. I mean, they're the ones behind the prosecutions, even though I don't like her, of Jenna Ellis, right, of Rudy Giuliani. I mean, every lawyer.
Yep.
And they do that twofold. Number one, to punish the lawyers. And number two, to make it
terrified representation.
Yeah, to terrify everybody else. If you're a lawyer and somebody connected to something calls up, right? If John Eastman calls up, right? It's, because now those lawyers are being targeted as well.
Well, everybody and their mother is going to get their law license also at Florida.
Yeah. Well, hear from Sandra. So he can come here and be a judge. One doesn't have to be a lawyer or have a law degree to be a judge. Isn't that correct, Chuck? I think it is correct, right?
Well, usually, I think they have rules now.
They do have rules. That's for coroners. You don't have to know anything about them. You can be a coroner. One thing on the trial while we're waiting for Ash to come, she's usually pretty good. I think it's interesting. There has been very little media coverage of it, right?
Of what?
The Trump trial going on here in Denver. Almost no, the Denver Post, I mean, almost no local coverage. And the reason I think that is because no one cares, right? I mean, this is how newsrooms make decisions. Everybody comes in the morning, you have your 9 o'clock meeting, editorial meeting, everyone's there, they kind of pitch their ideas. And I'm sure somebody would say, well, what about the Trump trial? And I'm like, oh, that's boring. You know what I mean?
And, well, yeah, but watch what happens if he's found.
Oh, that'll be all over the place. But it is interesting right. to me that there's not even much in the way of national coverage.
Well, because, you know, they know it's all lies. Well, not that it bothers them. But.
Right, right. Hey, and you know what, Thomas, I'm going to say, why don't you go ahead and give Ash a call real quick. From Jacob, didn't one of the Lincoln Project say that somebody has to put a bullet to Trump? Oh, I didn't hear that. And from Leo, Tucker brought up Trump being assassinated. And from Jacob, no local coverage because when the case gets dismissed, the media won't have to report it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jacob, I don't think it's going to get dismissed.
No.
I think this judge is going to rule that Trump cannot be on the ballot, or worse, or the same, that Jenna Griswold could decide he can't be on the ballot, which sort of shows how corrupt it is, right? So this is a Democrat judge appointed by a POLIS, contributes to Democrats, even contributed to a fund that went after persecuting the January 6th defendant. So even on the topic she's specifically ruling on, she's made political contributions. You had the judge in Arizona, who said that it wasn't up for the judge to decide. It looks like the Minnesota judges are saying the same thing, right?
Yeah, well, we don't know. They haven't come down to the decision yet. Some of the oral arguments indicated they're going that way because that's a majority Democratic
right.
court.
Okay. Okay. Hey, Thomas, maybe just tried Ash and she's not answering. I know Ash was doing interviews all over the place because of what happened in court yesterday. So maybe she's still on there. Maybe Thomas, just try texting her and just tell her to come on when she gets a chance.
One of the bizarre things about the Colorado case is the plaintiffs called Ken Buck. Now, Ken Buck believes the election wasn't stolen and there was an insurrection, but they called him to talk about how the January 6th panel was composed, and he said it's all just corruption.
Right.
You know, just a couple of turncoat Republicans, and that was it.
So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, they got him on that.
Which is bizarre to me that Ken Buck would do that. But then they did ask him, well, don't you think Trump was bad? And he said something effective, yes. Mm-hmm. We were previously talking, and Chuck and I talk about this almost every day, at least the past few days, is Ken Buck crazy or does he have a plan? I tend to think he has a plan. He decided.
Go for crazy.
You're just going with crazy.
He's crazy.
Well, what's he going to do to earn a living? Is crazy. Okay, he just reached her and she's coming on now. You know, I don't know. I still think he's going to show up.
Okay, how many out there think he's crazy?
Yeah, it's like, well, okay, but he could be crazy with a plan.
Well, yeah, but crazy people's plans aren't too fun.
No, well, no, and I don't think we'll see him very much in Colorado anymore.
All right, everybody's coming on. It's Crazy Wins.
Oh, crazy wins. Uh-huh. Well, so anyway, so the trial, do we have Ash? Okay, she's joining now. I don't know if I want to. Oh, what else did I want to talk about? The DeSantis Boots thing while we wait for Ash. Mm-hmm. If we have time, we'll play the DeSantis Boots thing. What I find most interesting, I don't know if you guys have heard this, but there's been all kinds of controversy about whether Ron DeSantis is wearing lifts in his boots.
Inside
right? Eric Trump had a hilarious thing where he proved that he did have lifts. But what's really interesting is that's one of the biggest things that people are talking about with Ron DeSantis, right? Mm-hmm. You got to be depressed if you're a candidate running for president, and the only thing people want to talk to you
are you running lifts?
Are you wearing lifts in your boots?
It's not that short. He's 5'11".
But I mean, that to me is
cowboy
worse.
Boots make you look taller anyway, right. But I guess you want to look even taller than that.
That's the worst thing. That's all people are talking about. Not his policies, not his polls, just his boots. Hey, Ash, I see you're here. If you want to go ahead and turn your camera on and unmute yourself.
There she is.
So you've been busy. You've been like all over the internet, streaming services, everything today, talking about this trial and the way that you pertain. So thank you for making time for us too.
Yeah, sorry I'm late. I was writing and I'm sitting here and eating Cheez-Its.
Well, that'll help.
I'm sure somebody in your family just left them there.
Yes. Yes. It was the children. It wasn't me. And I was sitting here and I started writing my show for later and lost track of time. So I'm so sorry.
No worries.
I want to get to your particular situation there in a second. But first, why don't you, you've been following this trial really closely. You're just, what do you want? What do you think people need to know about it? Or what would you kind of bring us up to speed on things?
Okay. So I think that the court is trying to, well, the petitioners and the network of people's, you know, crew and the Eric Olson, who's not with the AG's office anymore because he's, you know, doing private law now and whatnot, that I think they're trying to chip away at the contours of the law and set precedent, right? So what we saw on the first day with the Dr. Simi was setting the standards for far-right extremism. This guy is was allowed in as an expert witness to talk about far-right extremism. I think it's a discipline that he's made up based on the cross-examination and, you know, the way that he answered questions. But he was talking about, you know, he's asked point blank, what is, how do you define a far-right extremist? What is that, right? And he defined people who are concerned about corruption, believe that there's a conspiracy that the government works on behalf of the elites and not the people. What's so great about that is in October 2022, the New York Times released their Siena poll. I think I wrote a column about this at the time. What and it was 68% of likely U.S. voters from all parties and all geographies and all age groups, 68% are concerned about corruption and that the government works on behalf of the elites and not the people. So that's the standard of being a far right extremist. We got to understand what weapon, what being armed is, right? Trump sent a mob of armed people. That means sharpened flagpoles. I'm not making this up. I'm not making this up. Sharpened flagpoles. Every other weapon that was mentioned, shields, batons, parts of barricades, everything that was mentioned aside from sharpened flagpoles was things that were found at the Capitol, right? That not, and the assertion is Trump sent an armed mob.
Right.
Right. Well, the armed can only refer to sharpened flagpoles.
Right.
Because everything else that was listed as weapons by the two Capitol police officers are things that they, you know, allegedly
were already there. Right. Yeah. Right. Well, let me go so that we'll see. I mean, my guess is the judge will rule, you know, against Trump. But what I wanted to talk about, too.
Well, there was some indication on some of the far right sites that the cross-examination concerning the film was pretty devastating, or at least the
how they edited it.
Yeah, how they, you know, they put a timestamp on it. There was an hour off that they came up with all this kind of fraudulent timing. Did you see that part of the trial?
Yes. So it's important to know that the evidence, what the petitioners are bringing as evidence is the January 6th committee report, the videos that were produced for the January 6th committee, Trump's tweets, and Trump's public statements. Then they have witnesses. They have, you know, some constitutional scholars to talk about how the during the Reconstruction period and when the 14th Amendment was brought in, nobody really knew what insurrection was. So it's incumbent upon us to define it now. And that's really important. They're asking a state court, a judge in a state court, to define insurrection as it pertains to the 14th Amendment. It's going to be appealed either way, regardless of which way she rules.
Right.
But yeah, it's pretty interesting. I think that the cross-examination of the petitioner witnesses has been great. I think Kash Patel absolutely destroyed their entire case.
How do you do that?
So Kash Patel was there, you know, in working for for Christopher Miller, the Secretary of Defense. He was at the Pentagon that day and can attest to all of the events that went on and what the processes were in the days leading up to January 6th, the authorizations that were provided and the fact that Trump had delegated his authorities, you know, on that day to Christopher Miller as the acting Secretary of Defense. So the petitioners are trying to say that Trump should have sent in armed, that either the military or the National Guard should have sent in, you know, armed into Nancy Pelosi's house on January 6th. And they're saying because he didn't activate the National Guard and the military on January 6th, he withheld support. It's not true. Nobody's right. found that. This is a right. it's a new novel assertion. But that's where they're going with it.
Right. It's like ridiculous. Well, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is, this has been, they had what they call in Colorado, an expanded media motion was granted. So the trial could and was being covered and live streamed all over the place. And then, from what I understand, you were working with Badlands Media and you were restreaming it like everybody else in the universe.
Yes.
And you got targeted. And there's a specific reason, I think, why you were targeted. Tell us about that.
Well, so one thing that's for is they said my full name. Now I write for you guys. Do we ever right. call me Ashley Epp? Ever?
No. Ash in America.
Right? Yeah. Or Ash. Right. But I never use my full name. It's nowhere on the content. It's nowhere near any of my content. But it is in my lawsuit. I'm Ashley Epp in the lawsuit that Jenna Griswold is a witness in against me. But at the time that I was streaming on the Badlands channel. It was a Badlands content. The logo for Badlands was on the stream. And Eric Olson presented to the judge that I was some random person streaming individually. The judge said, are we sure she's not a part of the expanded media coverage? And, you know, we can debate what that means, right? But he said, no, this appears to be an individual. It did not appear to be an individual. It had the logo for the media company on the screen, and I was on the media company's channel. So he misrepresented that to the judge and then spelled my last name to everybody in the world pointed out that it was me. So that was really interesting to me because it wasn't that somebody saw the stream and said, oh, we need to report this person, because whoever saw the stream in that way wouldn't know my name. Not my
I was going to say, your name wasn't, yeah. It didn't say Ash Epp, you know, Ashley.
No, it never does.
So he would have had to have known that you were with Badlands Media, right? Well, and he would have had to know your full legal name. And the reason he knew that is because they're trying to sue you, right?
Well, so I am being sued by the NAACP. Holly Kaysen and Sean Smith, Colonel Sean Smith, are co-defendants in the case. USCIP was a co-defendant. The judge dismissed USCIP as a defendant. And so it's just the three of us that are being sued by the NAACP, the League of Women Voters, and Mi Familia Vota. One of the law firms is Lathrop. The other law firm is Free Speech for People. And that's kind of interesting because when this case was originally brought by Crew, the initial statements of interest, right, petitions to Jenna Griswold were on behalf of Free Speech for People and Mi Familia Vota.
Ah, okay.
So on Wednesday, when they called up my name, I'm like, huh, that's kind of weird. Like, why, you know, and I know, like, Eric Olson was with the Attorney General's office, you know, fully aware of the organizing that we've been doing. Everybody in an official position, I think, is aware of my writing, particularly about Tina Peters, right?
Right.
And the work that I did about Tina Peters. Jenna certainly is. And so it was very strange the way it was presented, as though there's just some random person on the internet that's streaming because they know who I am. But when you look at yesterday's testimony with Tom Bjorklund, and in that testimony, they asked about USCIP.
Oh,
so to me, that is, everybody thinks that this case is going to be appealed regardless, right? Most scholars think this is a very long shot
right.
legal, case to make. But, you know, I think that the lawfare machine, there's a lot of them, but I think they're
right.
relatively closed ranks, right? And can they get something to help their case against Ashon and Holly out of this testimony?
Oh, sure.
And whatnot.
Yeah, yeah. A bunch of virtues. And, you know, and I, one of the things I said, and I told you this just so folks know, I mean, I covered crime and courts for decades in Colorado. And I can tell you the judge was just flat out wrong to admonish you. The expanded media motion, while there are certain specific organizations mentioned in it, I mean, that it does not mean that only those organizations have access to the information. When there's an expanded media motion request granted, I've been in covering numerous cases where, say, the local TV stations were on the motion, right? And then Yahoo News would come in. Well, we always had to give it to Yahoo News, right? I covered another case where just the judge wanted it. And the judge said, you're not special with the media. It's an expanded request. It means anybody who wants to could have it. So, yeah. I mean, the judge was just wrong there. So again, I just say, and maybe she's a relatively new and experienced judge and she didn't understand that. But
I don't think so. I don't think so, Julie, either. I don't think it's the judge. I think it's the way that Eric Olson presented it. It was obvious that I was part of a media organization, but if he had said Badlands Media, I don't think he would have had it taken down. I don't think she would have said to take it down because it's expanded media coverage. I think he said that I was an individual streaming on the internet because he wanted to mislead the judge because they wanted our stream taken down. We had 8,600 people watching. Now, I was, in hindsight, was I showing an adequate level of respect for the court with, you know, some of my overlays and whatnot? Maybe not, right? But that's the First Amendment, so...
Well, I would say the expanded media motion request doesn't, the motions don't anywhere ever in any I've seen comment on what you can or can't do with that, with the videotape, right? You can do whatever you want with
it. Well, I mean, the one you can refer to is the case with Johnny Depp. I mean, there were all kinds of bloggers that are all over that clay, individuals commenting on it, making money off of it.
Right.
Not showing due respect necessarily for the court, but it wasn't limited to CNN and a few others.
Right. I mean, that's the whole point. It's in the public there. So they were, I mean, so what, I guess where I'm going with that is, number one, they were wrong. Number two, they had to know they were wrong because it's not like, well, or didn't care. I mean, it's not like that doesn't happen. I mean, it doesn't happen all the time in court cases, but it's not unusual for someone to come in and want access to it. They're like, yeah, you have to give it. I mean, because people would fight. Like, you'd have reporters who'd be late, right? And you'd be like, ha ha ha, you can't have that video. You know, you can't have that testimony. The judge would be like, yes, give them the videotape.
Yeah. So for me, I was thinking it was better for me to pull directly from the court's website than to restream C-SPAN or somebody else's coverage, right? So from a legal standpoint, I thought that that was safer. But also, I kept going back because C-SPAN had better camera angles than the Zoom meeting, right? And so I kept going back to C-SPAN, but the sound was terrible. The sound on C-SPAN was really bad and you couldn't really hear the witnesses. And so we ended up sticking with the court stream. But that's the thing, is I wasn't in the WebEx of the court, you know, like I pulled the public link off of the government website.
Right.
And so did hundreds, if not thousands, of other streamers. This is a case about President Trump. The idea that you can shut down when expanded media has been granted, that you can shut down somebody for streaming this is crazy. And then the fact that it was me, right?
That's a bigger thing. Here's the thing, I think, Ash, it's like you had the audacity to question the election, right?
Yes. And I still do. So, oh, happy stolen election anniversary, guys. It's today.
Oh, yay.
People need to understand, and Ash, I just kind of like your thoughts on this, is if these people are so corrupt and so crazed that they're going to go out of their way in the middle of a trial to call out Ash in America because she had the audacity.
No. Ashley Epp.
Right.
Government name.
They call out Ashley Epp. I mean, who in the overall scheme of things, you know, you're probably not one of the, you don't probably.
Bigger. You're not the biggest.
Biggest fish in there. But I mean, if they're going to take the time and effort to monitor you, right? Because somebody was monitoring you, how's they know? So if any of us think that the system is not weaponized, this is absolute proof. And nobody is too far down the food chain for them to not try to destroy.
Yeah. And how many people were streaming on YouTube, right? Oh. Probably a bunch. We weren't on YouTube. We were on Rumble.
Right.
And nowhere, you can search Rumble for my full name. It doesn't show up. I don't use my full name. So nobody was watching and then giving them a tip. Right. My full name was pulled out because they know it, because they know who I am. And and then the fact that yesterday they brought up USCIP. I mean, we should do a whole other show on the USCIP lawsuit and bring Sean and Holly.
Yeah. That'd be a great idea.
That is a good idea. We'll do
that. Because it's pretty crazy what's been going on. And there's a lot there, but USCIP was sued. The three of us were named defendants in the case for the canvassing report.
Right.
Right. But we weren't sued until months and months after we were done canvassing. There were never any reports, complaints, nothing.
You were asking questions, Ash. Mm-hmm. Questions are not allowed anymore in this country. Right. You know, it's like every so often I think, should we go back on YouTube? And I'm like, no, they'll kick us off there in no time.
We don't want to be on YouTube.
Well, so
we starve their platforms. We shouldn't be using it. We need to starve their platforms.
Exactly. Well, last question, though. So back to the trial. So does it wrap up today? What's the schedule, do you know? I know you've been doing media all day, so maybe.
So they I haven't been back since the since they took a break, their mid-afternoon break. I believe they were saved, as far as I know, and this could have changed because I haven't seen the last few minutes, but the petitioners had asked to delay to put off their closing statements until Monday.
That makes sense.
So yeah, I think that's what we'll probably see.
Almost always the judges allow that. So, okay.
Well, Oh, no. If the judges like you, they allow
depends
that.
Depends on your ideology.
Petitioners. Yeah. Petitioners wanted it. All right. Hey, Ash, listen. Well,
thanks, Ash, and hang in there.
Stay safe and hang in there. Thanks, we appreciate all you do.
Have a great weekend.
Oh, hey, can I mention for Sean and yes. Holly and I, our legal defense fund? It's ASH, Ash, Sean, Holly, ASH Legal Defense Fund. That's a Give, Send, Go. So it's givesendgo.com/Ash Legal Defense Fund, Ash without an E.
Okay. And we'll get back in touch with you and plan that. Just get that on the schedule.
All right. Take care.
Awesome. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Appreciate it. All right. Bye-bye. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us. It's time to go. It's time to go start implementing Party Friday.
Yeah.
Thank you to Dick Morris, to Ash Up, all you great guys on Zoom, Thomas. Remember, you can get all those shows on chuckandjulie.com. I think Monday we'll probably do a little bit more on this trial because I don't think the judge is going to rule right away. But I think
no, she'll take a couple of weeks. Pretend she's just looking at the law, looking at the facts, and applying them.
That's right.
In a fair and impartial manner.
Probably in the meantime, another 20 people will have entered the CD4 race, so we'll talk about that too. Meanwhile, everybody have a great weekend. Happy Party Friday.
Vote for Chuck for CD4.
See you later.
Bye bye.